Okay, it's on the condition for relocation, that's clear. Got it?
Thank you, you said three, I'm sorry.
3:30.
Sorry.
We're way behind, any of you have seen people still?
Good morning, Your Honor. John Pinkowski on behalf of Ted Bernstein. Al Rose on behalf of Ted Bernstein.
John Lewis, here on behalf of Four Adult Grandchildren.
Brian O'Connell, personal representative of the estate of Simon Bernstein.
Elliot Bernstein, pro se.
Peter Feynman on behalf of William Stansberry, creditor of the estate.
Okay.
This is a motion to special setting petition to remove Ted Bernstein as successor trustee of his dad's trust that he's been famous for.
Okay, did refresh my memory. I thought last time we were here we had some evidentiary hearings and then had a schedule of other ones. Okay,
with regard to, if I may, with regard to Mr. Stansberry, Your Honor, we had a hearing regarding the appointment of a personal representative of the estate of Mr. Bernstein. Your Honor appointed Mr. O'Connell at that time.
And there were other hearings, though, that I don't think we got to then, and that are they set now in the future?
They are not, Your Honor.
So this is
to call, in your absence, your assistant. I tried to get some hearing times. Counsel could not agree as to the length of time necessary, so I had to file a motion to come before you to get it special set.
Let me see the motion that you want set. I don't know why, but I thought there was maybe Elliot filed. Didn't you file also a petition to remove?
He did, Your Honor, yes.
Okay, and you don't have a hearing date on that?
Well, I was going to join Peter's hearing.
I hadn't previously given you a hearing date.
Oh, no, yeah, we were scheduled, and then we were scheduled for a spillover, but we delayed it. I'm trying to get counsel.
Okay, now I remember. Okay, there was some discussion about not going forward, because if you wanted some additional time to get counsel, what happened with that?
You don't want to know.
Okay.
But it hasn't matured into counsel.
All right. Okay. So.
We also thought that delaying it would
be. The creditor and Elliot have companion petitions to remove Ted, correct?
Correct.
All right. That's the status?
That is the status, Your Honor.
Okay. So what's the issue then? A hearing date or how long or what's the...
Well, no, we oppose Mr. Feynman's client, who's a creditor of the estate, from trying to remove a trustee in probate court.
Okay, all right. But let me deal with Elliot's first, because Elliot's was set earlier, but we delayed that, correct?
Yes, Your Honor.
Okay, so his matter needs to get set
Well, yes, Your Honor, if Elliot wants to be heard on it, that's correct. I mean, we would argue that he has to file a complaint under 736.0201. We don't have jurisdiction, and the trust code is pretty clear. You need to go file a separate civil action.
Okay. I haven't looked at the pleadings. I don't know where they are. So, both Elliot's and the creditors' petitions are set in the probate case, correct?
Yes, Your Honor.
So we'll is the issue whether a petition to remove a trustee can take place in the estate case or needs to be filed in a, by separate action in a in civil court?
That is one of the issues, and regarding Mr. Payman's client, the creditor, Mr. Stansberry, he doesn't have standing to remove a trustee, to remove Ted as trustee.
You agree, depending upon where it's filed, that Elliot does have standing?
Elliot has standing to seek Ted's removal, yes.
Okay.
And, Your Honor, just... I put in a motion to respond to their contempt nonsense, and I put in a motion in response to their contempt motion they put into here today.
I didn't see that.
Okay, and in that motion, in case Mr. Feeman somehow isn't, you know, allowed to argue, the law says that you, on your own initiative, based on review of a trustee's conduct, can under, I think it's 736.0201, blah, 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 is able to make that decision on your own. And right now we've got evidence that assets are missing, that they told you. Oh, okay. Sorry.
Not so much a hearing time on Mr. Feeman's client, but whether it's actually a request to dismiss his petition, correct?
Yes, Your Honor. Yes, Your Honor.
Have you filed a pleading directed to that?
Yes, Your Honor. May I approach?
Sure.
And this is trustee's motion to dismiss petition to remove Ted S. Bernstein as trustee.
Issue.
Thank you. Our motion, Your Honor, that we filed addresses the, may I sit, Your Honor, right?
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
Our motion addresses the issue of standing right up front, beginning at the top of page 2, and I can summarize that for you orally or allow you a minute to glance at it. So we begin, Your Honor, with Florida Statute 736.0706, which says that the settlor, a co-trustee, or a beneficiary may request the court to remove a trustee. So then the question is, what is the code definition of a beneficiary? For that, Your Honor, return to Florida Statute 736.0103 sub 4, where beneficiary is defined. There, Your Honor, beneficiary is defined very broadly as, quote, a person who has a present or future beneficial interest in a trust vested, or contingent. Now, in this particular probate estate, Your Honor, Mr. Stansberry is a creditor of the Simon Bernstein estate to the extent of an excess of $2.5 million, which was given in a proffer when we had our mediation in the underlying case. The assets of the Simon Bernstein Trust are a little over $1 million at this time. So because the assets of the estate, because the assets of the Simon Bernstein estate are facially insufficient to meet the claim of Mr. Stansberry, what happens then? For that, we turn to Florida Statute 733.7073, which is also on page 2 of our motion, which states, quote, any, and this deals with the payment of claims and the order of claims in an estate, and it states, any portion of a trust with respect to which a decedent who is the grantor, and that's this case, Mr. Bernstein was the grantor of this revocable lifetime trust. The grantor has at the decedent's death a right of revocation, which we have, is liable for the expenses of the administration and obligations of the decedent's estate to the extent that the decedent's estate is insufficient to pay them. Therefore, Your Honor, if we assume that Mr. Stansberry's interest, admittedly, and one in the future, because his claim is not yet been liquidated, and admittedly contingent, nonetheless, the trust assets may be called upon to satisfy Mr. Stansberry's claim against the estate, and that trust falls within the definition of 733.707. Therefore, Mr. Stansberry would have standing because of how beneficiary is defined as any person who has a future beneficial interest in a trust, vested or contingent. Mr. Stansberry falls into that broad definition, and because you look at the inventory of the Simon Bernstein estate, it only has $1 million, his claim on its face is $2.5 million, then Mr. Stansberry could very well need those trust assets to satisfy his claim, or, more accurately, the personal representative may have to go to the trust. Mr. Stansberry has a direct interest in preserving the assets of the trust. Therefore, if we have information to think that those assets are being wasted by the present successor trustee of the trust, that is Mr. Ted Bernstein, then we have sought to remove him so that those assets of the trust, of which Mr. Stansberry may claim someday, are protected.
Absolutely not, Your Honor. First of all, Mr. Stansberry was trying to tell you that his client, who's a claimant, not a creditor, his claim has not been established, is a beneficiary whose interest is a future interest of vested. Mr. Feynman's claimant client is not vested. He's not a beneficiary. He's a claimant. We know the difference between a beneficiary and someone making a claim against the estate of Simon Bernstein. The personal representative is an interested person in the trust, right? Mr. O'Connell can go to Ted, the trustee, and say, hey, I need to do things, or I want to seek your removal, but a claimant is not an interested person in the trust. Mr. Feynman's client is neither a settlor, a beneficiary, or a named trustee of the Simon Bernstein Trust.
So my question is, is there any case law on whether a claimant in an estate can be deemed to be a beneficiary under 736?
None.
We could not find any, Your Honor. So we're relying upon, if I may hand Your Honor the statute.
Okay. That's what you quoted in your book.
Yes, the statutory definition of beneficiary, and clearly the statute says a beneficiary has standing. The statutory definition of a beneficiary is very broad and states that a person who has a future beneficial interest, vested or contingent. And therefore, Your Honor, we respectfully, strongly suggest that Mr. Sinclair clearly has standing to seek the relief that he's requested.
So I have to go to 733.707. Let me take a look at that for a second again.
That's this one, Your Honor.
All right, thanks. 733.707. Speaks a little differently than Mr. Fehman, and I think the way you're interpreting it. That, to me, says if there's a trust, which there is here, where the decedent is also the grantor, which is the case here, and there's a right of revocation, which is the case here, then the trust could be liable for expenses of administration and obligations of the estate. The trust could be.
Correct.
But that doesn't, that's not a definitional section that indicates that a claimant of an estate could be deemed to be a beneficiary.
This,
I'm not getting that. Either.
Sure. This,
I mean, because what I'm getting at is 733.707 says what it says. So someone could look to a trust to pay for obligations of an estate based upon what that statute says. You agree with that, Mr. Pankowski?
Yes, Your Honor. 733.707 sets out the order of payments and the process. Mr. Fehman has to win first in the probate court, get a judgment, or have a claim satisfied by the estate. Then he turns to Mr. O'Connell and says, Mr. O'Connell, please satisfy my judgment. If Mr. O'Connell doesn't have sufficient funds, he then turns to Ted Bernstein and says, Mr. Bernstein, please give me money from your dad's revocable trust.
But pending that process, the claimant, who's Mr. Fehman's client, says, I want to remove Ted, and the key seems to be, does he occupy, as he's making that request now, the position of being a beneficiary?
No, because he neither has a present interest to the trust, he's not vested, and he doesn't have a future interest to the trust. If he were vested, this would be a different story. But the Simon Bernstein Trust...
He says he has an interest in a future interest in the trust if the estate is insufficient to meet his claim, and his claim becomes right, it's determined that there's insufficient funds, then he says he's, he would then take action against the trust or go to the PR to invade the trust.
Exactly. He's got to go to the PR. And his interest is not vested. The Simon Bernstein Trust says nothing about Mr. Fehman's clients. And he's trying to convince you that a claimant in an estate is a beneficiary of Mr. Bernstein's trust. And there's no case law on that.
Your Honor, counsel keeps using the word vested. That's not the only thing it says under the definition of a beneficiary.
Vested or contingent.
Or contingent. And if Mr. Stansberry has reason to believe that the assets of the trust are being wasted, he should have the right.
At this stage, as a claimant,
why should he have to wait until his claim is finally liquidated after trial? Then the estate is insufficient. He turns to the trust, and now
that may be what the legislature intended.
And now the trust is bare. And then Mr. Stansberry, who maybe had a chance to save what assets were there back when his claim was future and contingent, now he gets to the point where it's present and vested, and now because of the intervening time frame,
so let me ask
the
you,
assets have been dissipated.
736.103, the definitional section of beneficiary, there's no cases that speak about when a claimant can be deemed a beneficiary.
Not that we could find.
You didn't find any either?
No, because it doesn't exist. In the history of jurisprudence for trusts, a claimant is not a trust beneficiary. He may be a creditor of the estate.
A claimant is a potential beneficiary of a trust in a situation unique like this, where the trust assets may be called upon to satisfy my
that's
client's claim.
That's not a claim. Beneficiary, that's a claimant. A
no,
claimant
that,
and a creditor.
That's the difference I think I have to figure out. If you, Mr. Fehman, when your client moves, assuming this is what happens from claimant to creditor, he then gets a class of he becomes a numbered class of creditors, order of know, then I deal with 733.707 and determine how to pay him from what's left. And then if there's insufficient assets, then the trust could be looked at as a source.
Correct.
But the trust could be liable for obligations in the estate.
Correct.
Once I find what those obligations are. But right now, I don't know what those obligations are, and the fact that your client's a creditor doesn't put him yet into a position where I could order his claim to be paid because it hasn't been determined yet.
And what happens, respectfully, Your Honor, if when that time comes, the trust cupboard is bare when there could have been the opportunity?
Then, others who have standing, such as either Mr. O'Connell or Elliot, be able to deal with that issue? Because they clearly have standing.
Yes, Mr. Stansberry would like to deal with it too because he has a potential claim on that trust.
I'm just not sure though that under the statutory scheme where he is right now as claimant puts him in a position to be deemed a beneficiary. All right, let me think about it. I haven't seen this before, and do you have a proposed order?
I do.
Thanks.
It's
Either side has a proposed order, I'll take a look at it.
It's
you just
blank.
Have a blank, Your Honor.
Oh, wait, that's okay. All we have.
All right, blank with envelopes is great.
So.
Right. So I'll rule on this, and then what else do we have to do now that we're here?
I've got an interim distribution that I put in before anything he's about to say that depends on my kids being in school tomorrow that he's delayed and fecocked around here long enough. So before he gets into the whole Elliot's contemptuous and the bad guy.
No, if I need to set hearings on things, that's one. And this is UMC, that I can't have evidentiary hearings.
This is, they're asking for your decision to allow my children to go to school today, which they're in school, but will be out tomorrow because of.
Who's asking for that?
They are, meaning he said he's coming to the court to, I've got a letter here, he's coming to the court to ask for.
What's going on?
Oh, wait till you hear.
You want to deal with the children in school?
Yeah,
okay.
I mean, I don't know what it means. I mean,
that's fine.
Can I deal with it first?
Remember, at UMC, I don't deal with children in school issues because I don't even have any pleadings dealing with this.
You do. I filed them.
Yeah, but, I mean, are they set for hearing for today?
I thought so. I put it in for a hearing today and sent it around. I did. I filed one.
You filed it yesterday.
No, the interim distributions was filed last week. Yesterday I filed for the motion, my response to his contempt nonsense.
All right, so there's a motion for interim distribution, okay, and there's a notice of hearing was filed yesterday.
No, it was filed last week for the interim.
For today.
I filed one yesterday for the response to his contempt stuff he wanted to hear today.
Okay, all right. Put the contempt stuff aside. Let's deal with the interim distribution.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
Okay. Is that something that I could do at UMC?
I don't know if I can answer that question directly. Can I just tell you briefly where we are and
right,
my
right.
view?
Okay.
I don't.
Right,
okay. I don't know which proceeding we're in, but.
Can I take the first?
Right now, it's Elliot says there's pending this petition for interim distribution.
Yeah.
From the estate.
Right.
All right. So. Directly to that.
Okay. So, Mr. Elliot Bernstein has made a request for an interim distribution from something to pay for the private school tuition of his three children.
Okay.
He made that request probably the very end of July, and I, Ted's counsel, offered to discuss it with him so we could figure out where we were. We had a brief and unproductive.
All in the estate is what?
Not with the
estate. Well, what would you represent the estate?
But not in this estate. That's what I'm trying to explain to you. There's two different sides. There's a Simon side and a Shirley side. On the Simon side, I don't believe you can do anything because there's a creditor's plan. The creditor's just told you within the last 5 minutes that his claim exceeds the value of all the assets in the estate. So I don't think you could make an interim distribution over the creditor's objection. So that takes the Simon side out of it, which tells me then I'm going to suggest to you that we would need to be in the Shirley proceeding to discuss that.
So, Mr. O'Connell, you're the PR in the Simon estate?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so he would be the person...
I asked him,
too. He did ask me, right?
Okay, that would deal with that subject.
Well, okay. Here's the problem. He's an alleged trustee, even though the documents say that he can't be, Ted. That's something we've been waiting for you to determine. No, I know. So I made a petition to the trustee, a request under the welfare distributions that they're required to pay. They're not even discretionary.
Is your request in the estate or the trust?
Both, in both Cy and Shirley. I made it everywhere I could because the future of my kids depends on it. And he's playing more games. Okay.
Folks. Okay. Here's my question to everybody. I'll let the lawyers answer this because they know the rules. Is this something that I can do at UMC?
No, Your Honor.
I mean, UMC has certain rules.
Yes, Your Honor.
Oral argument on file motions. I can't take testimony. I can't swear anyone in. I can't take figures. I can't make determinations.
They're asking simply for your approval to allow Ted to make a distribution that he says he's willing to make as long as you approve it. I don't know what this is. They've delayed it to the day of school. They're filing these contempt and reconstruct trust to fit crimes. It's crazy, I know. But we're now in a situation where Mr. Rose has said he was coming here today, and I have his letter, to basically get you to approve Ted, who's obligated to make these payments, approve it. That's all we need.
And you want that?
Yeah, I want him to approve the payment.
And you want what they're asking?
I want them to get, well, I want you to approve it, but not under their term. Okay. I've got an order for the correct way.
But if there's a dispute.
Okay, they're not disputing.
If he would let me see him, if I could speak.
Let him tell the response.
Right, okay. First of all, this man is essentially trying to, no one has any ill will towards him or his children. You have to understand that. We don't. He will take whatever happens, and it'll be on the internet tomorrow, and he's crashing. He thinks, but it's important though to understand. We have boxes, okay? We live in two boxes. There's a Simon box and a Shirley box. I'm trying to explain to you that in the Simon box, Ted as trustee cannot do anything because Mr. Stanbury won't allow it because he's just told you there's $2.5 million. That's box number one. So I'm saying to you is, regardless of what he wants to do,
trust you're talking about?
Well, Ted is not the PR of the Simon estate, but to the extent there were money in the Simon trust, he cannot obviously pay out any money. Mr. Stanbury has just told you he's concerned with what happens in the Simon trust. So I'm saying to you, as an officer of the court, there's nothing we can do in the Simon box, and I want to end that, and then we can talk about the Shirley box, because I have no interest in his children not going to school, nor does my
father. Talk about the Shirley trust.
Well, we have to finish the Simon box, and I don't think, unless his client said to you, I consent to the money coming out of any of the trust or the estate, there's nothing we can do in the Simon box. We should finish it.
Which is the Shirley,
doesn't it? Okay. In the Shirley trust, Ted is by name in the document the successor trustee. He is by name in the document the successor personal representative of the estate of Shirley Barsey.
No.
So if we're going to switch now, if we're going to now be in the Shirley case, I'm not sure what's pending. There is a Shirley estate in which there's no assets in the estate because while he was alive, it all went to Mr. Simon Barsey. In the Shirley trust, we have initiated an action. There's now an action pending to construe the trust. It has nothing directly to do with why we're here today, but there's a pending action now. There's a request to Ted Bernstein to make an interim distribution.
Out of Shirley's trust.
Ted is
by Elliot.
He made the request. We offered. Ted has made an interim distribution to every beneficiary. Elliot refused the interim distribution to him last year. I think there were hearings before I was involved in the case where Your Honor addressed that with Elliot. I mean, there was an interim distribution to each of the beneficiaries, and Elliot refuses to take the. Now he's come in and said, "I need something different. I need money for my children's tuition." I have no interest in being anything but figure out what we can do. That's why I tried to have a discussion with him about the issue. In the Shirley Trust side, we have a problem because there's a dispute mostly between Mr. Bernstein and the trust and the beneficiaries as to who are the beneficiaries. Mr. Bernstein contends that Elliot contends that he might be an individual beneficiary of the Shirley Bernstein Trust. The way the documents appear to be drafted, Simon Bernstein had a power of appointment to appoint the assets in the Shirley Bernstein Trust, and he appointed it to his 10 grandchildren. Over a year ago, before I was involved, the trustee made an interim distribution to the 10 beneficiaries. Elliot refused that money. Now he's saying, I want you to make a distribution to St. Andrew's School. We don't care. We'd be fine to make that with a couple caveats. Number one, Mr. Bernstein, who wants the money, is challenging who the beneficiaries are. Number two, there may be questions whether, if his children are the beneficiaries and not him, I don't want Mr. Bernstein to be sued by his children. And, you know, he's filed in an indigency paper indicating he has absolutely no money, no job, no income, no this, no that. And his children go to a very expensive school that was paid for by his father while he was alive. I don't care about paying the school. I don't want Ted Bernstein to be sued if he makes the distribution, and now you have a dispute. So what I did is I emailed the beneficiaries and asked if anybody had an objection. If anyone had an objection to the trustee making an emergency interim humanitarian distribution to Elliot Bernstein, or for his children, for school. I also asked that he sign a... the response was, one of them is here. I have not received any objections, but Elliot Bernstein has objected. We asked that he sign the same type of a receipt and clawback agreement that everyone else did, and we would need some protection for Ted that he can never be sued for making this interim distribution. Mr. Pankowski would raise the question of whether, of the jurisdiction to do this where we are here now, but I didn't wait till the last minute. I had an immediate conference call with Mr. Bernstein. Your Honor was on vacation last week. I think today's the first day we can be here. His children are not pawns. They're not people that are being used for anything. We are here where we are. If there's a way to resolve it that satisfies the court's concerns, particularly you'd have to order Ted to do this, and I think you'd have to enjoin anyone from suing him ever for making this distribution and give him protection, you know, he's an officer, he's a fiduciary in this trust. I don't have a problem with it. And if the payment needs to be done tomorrow, that's not my creating. We could have done this in May, okay, June, or July.
So slow down for a second. So here's the thing. Let me get to the bottom line here.
Right.
As I've always said at prior times that we've been here, this is UMC.
I understand.
Okay, so there are rules. Those rules are going to be followed. And I announced last time you're going to be strictly followed. Okay, so in light of that, if you folks can reach an agreement to deal with this issue and can give me an agreed order this morning, I'll consider it. But that requires an agreement. Okay, so that's step one. Step two is, absent that, whatever request is made, just like all other areas, you file a pleading. I have to take evidence, you set up an evidentiary hearing. If I can do it by 5-minute oral argument, you set up a UMC. If you need more than 5 minutes on oral argument, you set specially set it, and that's the way it goes. So if you want to take a few moments and talk to Elliot and anyone else you have to talk to see if you can reach an agreed order on this while we're here this morning.
Can I just say something on the record? Since he's gotten his whole thing there.
I asked him a question.
Oh, okay. Yep.
I provided it. Everyone that had the interim distribution signed a receipt and return agreement that, right, if Your Honor ordered the money to be returned, it would be returned.
Okay.
In this case, the money would be spent directly to a school. It would never be coming back. So we would need protection that if it's determined that Elliot was the beneficiary, that he would agree that this counts against his distribution.
Okay, I understand.
I've given him the papers he would need to sign and the review and the order that Your Honor would want to sign, and I think he's going to say he won't do it because he doesn't negotiate with terrorists and whatever else he tells.
But don't speak for him.
Okay.
Now, listen,
Your Honor,
this is final word.
Got it. I'm going to be brief.
You're way over your time.
I totally get it. And I'm sorry for that, for this whole mess. But I'd just like to set the record straight.
Well, I want you to deal with this issue quickly.
Okay, what he just said. I want to set that straight. They want me to take a distribution to what they know are knowingly wrong beneficiaries that were achieved through a fraudulent document of Tesher and Spleena that's been admitted to.
No, well, slow down, slow down. See, that's not what they've asked. So
yes, no, that's what they're at. He just said.
No,
he,
that's not what he said. I heard what he said.
He said he wants me to take interim distributions like everybody else.
No, here's what he said. Money is going to go from the trust to you and or your children.
Right.
Okay. It's money passing. Okay. When you get the money, you would want... sign a receipt.
Okay.
That means
you get it. No, it's okay. I'm not. It's a waiver. It's got all kinds of problems. I've been advised not to do it. It's participating in fraud. We went through this September 13th, and you wouldn't approve it back then because you weren't going to approve me participating in a fraud. That's what he's asking me to do for the third time. Okay, you used my kids as hostages for school. If you can't do anything, this is over.
I'm going to instruct you one more time. I don't want that type of talk in my courtroom.
What type?
Hostage, children. Listen to me carefully.
Okay.
Stop.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
You're pushing the wrong buttons.
Okay.
Okay. If you push this button again, it's going to be adverse to you. I've asked you not to do that. Stop.
Okay.
No, this is a dignified process. Mr. Bernstein, cut that out right now.
Okay.
All right. Walk with me. All right. This is a dignified process. You keep it that way, okay? Everyone else is participating fine. You can have disputes, but we deal with them in a civilized manner in the courtroom, okay? Everyone is civil and professional here as they speak. That's the rule, okay? If you have to speak, if you reach an agreement, fine. If not, fine.
Yep.
I have an order. Yeah. There's an order that grants and a separate order that denies.
Okay, thank you. Okay, good.
Enough.
And I have an order if you'd like to look at the payments that you would have to sign.
Well, I'll give it. Agreed order.
Okay.
Okay. Okay.
Okay. I'm not going
to
participate in fraud.
Well,
that's what they're asking me to do. No. Yeah, no, we'll deal with them in a minute. I got them coming perfectly.
Go outside if you can work on this, fine. While I'm in another hearing, you bring in a great order.
We had other matters to reset. Yeah, looks at this fine.
No, no, yeah.
I just have a real narrow issue.
Yeah.
I'd sent out that suggestion of a mediation to deal with Peter's claim. Were you
right
on board with, do you have a problem with mediating it?
Mediating what?
Peter's client's settlement offer that he's made.
No.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, that's
so,
it.
No.
Okay.
It's as simple
and
as that.
Let me ask you, if they don't make this payment, can you?
I can't because... for the reasons that are stated in here, there's not enough money in the estate to
unless
do
he
it.
Waives out.
It's funny because they're claiming I don't have standing, but they won't distribute out what my client commissions. We must have standing for something.
That is funny, right? Okay, here's the situation.
Could you stay for 1 second, though? Would you mind staying for 1 second?
Yeah. Simple form he could sign.
Can you? And Elliot's okay with it.
Here, I'm willing to.